love you, your family. Lucia, tell your mother we're so delighted and honored to have her here today. Or Luciana. How do you say welcome?
No, you're welcome. Say, denado or nanitiquette, right?
Denado. Tell her that's what I just said. Let's stand for prayer as we thank you, Norm. That was excellent. We want to have you do that again. I'll give you more time. Lord Jesus, thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for blessing our church with Norm and Lucille and Luciana, new baby. We ask, Lord, that you bind our hearts together and may we be engrafted in one to another by the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please open in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I will cut my message, but not much. Psalms chapter 4. And Brian, we're glad to have you come. Stan, would you just for a moment turn around and wave? Brian is someone that has been with the Pentecostal Church of God. And right now, we're honored to have him and his wife and mother-in-law, although you weren't able to come this morning, but we're glad you're here. And every visitor, I've already messed up three names this morning when I was at, and I thought, boy, my brain is as normal. So if I called you the wrong name, please forgive me. Psalms chapter 4 and verse 4. I want to just minister this morning on the thought on where do we get our awe? Where do we get our awe? The word awe is used three times in the Bible. There's other words that are used to identify that particular word. But Psalms chapter 4, verse 4. Stand in awe. I've almost run around the pew when Cherry had us sing, "Stand and be still and know that I am God." Verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Think about it. We have given Christianity the name, the greatest story ever told. I just heard on the news this past week that they now believe they have found the archaeological findings of King David, who was king of Judah. This is huge, because they've tried to say, we don't have any archaeology findings of King David, but now they have. Last Sunday, I found myself getting a little concerned. Maybe that's the wrong word, little. A little concerned because I wasn't sure if the speaker was going to show up. And I was scrambling in my brain, what am I going to say? That's really nothing new, for most of the last 40 years of my life has come down to, what am I going to say? But I want to preach this morning on, where do we get our awe? And the reason I ask that question is because three times in Scripture the word is used, many other words are used. And before we take a look at them, let me ask you, have you had any awe moments this past week? Have you had any awe moments? Something that happened that an awe occurred, you were stimulated, and you experience perhaps an emotion or an intellectual excitement that inspired you, thrilled you. Or there's an awe that can make you afraid and be gripped with a fear. Awe can be on both sides of the fence. The other words that I have heard, the way the world will maybe try to describe this biblical word awe, and maybe they don't bring God into the situation, but God's in every situation. You'll hear people say, boy, that really rocked my world. Or a word I remember a young lady in our church used years ago was, whoa, whoa. I was looking for the horse she was riding on. I'm going to date myself by how many remember The Rascals, a TV program. You're dating yourself. There was one of the characters when he would get startled. I love the facial expression he would show. I know if it was Spanky, he'd go. And as a kid, I used to love seeing him with an awe in his face. Psalms 4:4 says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. When I read that and began to try to make sense of it, King David says there is an awe that you can experience by communing with your own heart. You ever do that? You ever commune with your own heart and relive something that when it first happened brought awe to you, but now you're reliving it and you're enjoying the awe all over again? Maybe it doesn't have the initial wow, but it still can be brought back up, because David said, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. Now, you may not be able to muster up all the emotional feelings or senses that you had the first time it happened, but apparently you can, by reliving it, experience to some degree that awe David is talking about. Now, David is just before the exhortation where he mentions to stand and be in awe. Then he talks about doing so in bed. When I first read that, I thought, David, are you saying that I'm to commune in my bed and think about something great and then stand up on my bed and jump up? I don't think my wife would appreciate that and wake her. She'd say, what are you doing? I'm standing in awe. But I don't think that's his meaning. I think he means during the day, go ahead and sum up things that happened and be in awe. And then when you're laying at bed, go ahead and be in awe. Now, I looked up the three times it's found in Scripture, because it's used three times in Psalms, although other places in the Bible use similar words. So in the three words that it's used, there's three Hebrew words, and so I looked up good old Brother Strong's in the concordance. And basically, all three words that he uses in the Psalms, though each one is different, it first one means to quiver with any violent emotion. It could be to quiver with fear or be afraid and stand in awe. This is what Strong says. Disquiet, fall out, fret, move, provoke, quake, rage, shake, tremble. Then the second time David uses the word is found in Psalms 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe. Now, if all of the world is exhorted by David to stand in awe, we know that not all the world has come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that does not mean that the world cannot stand in awe and have an experience of awe, which I'll get to in a moment. The third time David mentions it is in Psalms 119, 161. This one really kind of opened up a little more understanding. David says in Psalms 119, 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. And that third one really stood out to me because here is David saying, in the midst of the persecution, David still has his awe. He didn't allow the persecution that was coming against him, and he really had it. He had coming against him his son trying to take his throne. He had Saul trying to kill him three times. And so David was well acquainted with persecution. And David says, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I hope if you, when you find yourself in midst of persecution, you don't lose your awe and you're able to connect to your Lord. You see, David could have focused on how he was being done wrong. I mean, Lord, we live in a, people love to be victims, and maybe rightfully so, maybe they are victims. But David, rather than focusing on what had happened to him, rather he is focusing on how God is taking care of him, and it put an awe in his heart. He not only rejoices in God's word, he found in the next verse, but he is standing in awe of his word, which brings me to this point. This word's got a lot of awe in it. It's got a lot of awe in it. So how do we get awe from Scripture? How do we get awe in life? I want some awe. I need some awe. Give me some awe. You know what the church needs? Some awe. Now, I just got back, and now there's all kinds of awe, but let's try to wrap our minds around when the Scripture speaks about it. I just got back from Arizona, and I enjoyed seeing my grandson. The moment I saw him, I had a moment of awe. I never saw so much awe this morning. Brother Norman and Luciana, when you brought that baby in back there, I could see a dentist ought to come to this church because every mouth dropped open and you showed all your teeth. Ah. Now that's a awe everybody can identify with. I believe when the prodigal son came running home and his father saw him, or let me say came walking home and the father saw him afar off, when they hugged, how many know that was an awe moment? And Brother Norm, listening to you, how you beautifully demonstrated reconnecting, it created an awe in my heart. I want some awe. Now I have three ways that I have personally, myself, experienced awe. Please turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 19. David said he found awe in the Word of God. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 19, here's what it says. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Now I ask the question, what is manifested in us? Because it's manifested in every person that is born. One version says this, for the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put this knowledge in their hearts. Since earliest times, men have seen the earth and sky and all God made and have known of his existence and great eternal power. For every baby, every child born into this world, God puts within them instinctively an awareness there is a God. This natural, what I call natural awareness, this natural awareness that is put in every person that's born, we get coming into this world, and that awareness is God is real. That natural process can create some awe. Even people that haven't come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ do have and are born into this world with an awareness there's a God. And how many know that just looking at creation in the natural can create an awe? And as David said, when I consider the heavens and the work of thy hands, and all of us can just see awe in creation. You don't have to be saved to see that awe. Hopefully that awe will whet your appetite for more awe of God. I love watching nature shows. I get amazed. That's another word of saying awe. I get amazed of how God, even in the animals that he created, of how they know instinctively to do things for their survival that no one taught them. How a salmon can return to the very spot within a few feet of where it was born. How birds know to migrate, and why birds were created with hollow bones so they could fly, and on and on. There's an awe I get just in the natural. The second way I experience awe is from reading his word. Let me explain that when the Lord and I got together, and I really, God got a hold of me when I was 18, and I got a hold of him. I didn't know any of the Bible. I was too squirrely in Sunday school to listen to the teacher. Now, I knew some of the stories of the Bible. I think everyone knows, you know, Noah, David and Goliath. And there are some basic Bible stories that almost everyone knows. Well, I knew them, but I had never read the Bible to get it firsthand. So when I came to the Lord, I want you to understand, I didn't know that Bible. I maybe knew one verse. Norm knew 100 times more than I did. I went, but I was too squirrely. But when I came to the Lord, I began to read this book. And you know what I became aware of? 90, and I'm not just pulling this out of thin air, about 90% of this book is about stories. Just telling incredible stories that happened. A bush burning. A Red Sea opening up and then closing on an army. I remember the first time I read the story where a donkey talked. I had to stop and say, "You got to be kidding me. A donkey talked." And then the greater miracle is that the guy talked back to the donkey. And then I remember reading where even where Moses got the law. That was the finger of God writing on tablets of stone. And then Moses broke them and God said, "All right, next time you think that's so easy, you write them." And then the story of walking around the walls of Jericho. I'm reading this as a 18-year-old and 19-year-old and reading these stories, and I thought, look at that. And then I'd ask, did that really happen? Those stories really happened. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, you got Jesus being told he needs to pay some temple tax that he didn't, but he tells Peter to go catch a fish, and in the fish's mouth would be a coin. Man, that excited me to go more fishing. Did Jesus really put mud, spit in mud, and put it in a guy's eye? Yes. I really love the story where Samson caught 300 foxes, tied their tails together, lit them aflame, and sent them off. Boy, he really would have upset the animal. I mean, it had a way of creating an awe in me reading these stories. In the world, I'm not telling anything you don't know, the world tries to create an awe. All of the movies are for the purpose to try to stimulate you, excite you. And so they have high tech and they special effects and they want to make you say, wow. How many know the world can't produce the awe quite like God can? And yet, that's the world. The world can't give awe. It's a synthetic awe. It happens for a moment, then it goes. But all of the purpose is trying to entertain you and to get people excited and telling, boy, you got to see this movie. Now, I know movies is a controversial thing years ago, but allow me, before I came to the Lord, I remember going to a drive-in movie to see a movie we had heard about named Wait Until Dark. Me and this kid named Jerry Rivard. My first car was a Comet. I call it a Vomit, but forgive me. And in this car, we're in the drive-in theater. Now, the movie, the whole purpose of the movie is this scary movie. They're wanting to create a fearful awe. And the whole thing builds up to this poor little innocent woman in her apartment. And a bad man comes in. And this bad man, he's wanting to attack her. And she's trying to hide. She's blind. And she cuts out and knocks out all the lights. And the music's building. And he's over there and I'm over here. And the whole movie builds to one big fearful scene where he lunges out and he grabs her ankle. And the movie just, and this music, when that happened, it scared the pudding out of me. And Jerry jumped across and I jumped across and we're holding on each other. And then when we realized, that don't look like, oh, get off of me. Scoot back over there. I don't want anybody to see us holding on to like each other like this. It had the effect they wanted to do, to put a fear in me. Well, about 6 months later, that movie was going to be in the show. And I knew what was going to happen. So I brought a couple of my friends and my older sister, and we're sitting there watching, and these two girls sat in front of us, and for the first 15 minutes of the movie, we're talking and cutting up, and everybody's going, shh, 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 trying to get them to be quiet. And then when the movie starts getting really scary, boy, your pastor's bad. I thought, I'll show you. So I knew the big part where he jumps across and grabs her ankle. I got down. All for the purpose of wanting an awe. How many know when the Bible says, whatsoever you sow, you will reap? When I came here, Bob Garner began to let me reap what I had sowed. And John has caused me to greatly come up behind me and scare me. And I'm really good at getting scared. But I asked, when I read the Bible, I began to ask my fellow brothers and sisters, these stories that I'm reading about, do they still happen? Do these amazing events still happen? And they said, yes. I said, well, where are they? I want to see them. Not that I'm chasing miracles. Maybe one might say I am, but no, I just thought, If God put him in there, and it was for the purpose of, David said, in thy word I found all. I said, man, I want to see some of these things happen. And I remember the first awe I personally experienced was when I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was an awe where God came in and was so real. But one night, I was lifeguarding at a church. I mean, lifeguarding at a pool. And I would bring the guys to go swim at this pool that I had the ability to turn the water up as warm as I wanted. So I'd put the heat at 85. We'd go swimming, and then when I'd leave, I'd turn it back down for the next day. But we got there one night, and I'm now teaching Sunday school, and I'm telling the kids that miracles still happen, although I haven't experienced any yet. And I know I'm told God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that these events, whether they're huge or small, they're still happening. And I remember the first time I think I had an awe encounter. And I got into the place where the guys were, and I had two contacts. I took a contact out of each one. I remember placing it in a little container, put it on the shelf of the cabinet, and we went swimming for an hour. I came back. They're getting dressed. And I'm as blind as a bat without them. And I grab the box off the thing. And I look. And there's only one contact. I put it in. And I said, hey guys, I can't find my other contact. So we spent 30 minutes looking for this contact. Can't find it. It's not their eyeball, so they don't care as much as I do, and they're wanting to go. So they said, we look, we're not going to find it. I remember going over to the counter to shut the lights off, and I remember saying, Lord, where's my contact? And out of frustration, I went and kind of, not real hard, put my hand down, and my finger popped out. I know this sounds weird, but listen, this stuff is full of weirdness. And I felt my finger tingle. That's a wrong word. I felt it have a funny feeling. And I thought, why am I feeling a funny feeling on my finger? When I looked down, and on the counter was the contact. I mean, I just thought, oh, look at that. Look at that. And I had an awe. There was no doubt in my mind, God did it. I don't know how he did it. I've walked back and tried to figure out how he did it. But where I want to go with this is, you know how many awes you could be missing? When Philip came to Jesus and said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you now 3 years and thou hast not seen him? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Philip was missing some awe in seeing God in Jesus. When Jesus said to the disciples, let me say, when Jesus saw the multitude, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. He had an awe. He looked at the multitudes and his heart went, awe. They're as sheep without a shepherd. And when Jesus said to the disciples, lift up your eyes, for the fields are white unto harvest. He was trying to tell them, and they had been missing the awe. They could see all those people, but they were not having an awe as Jesus was having an awe when he saw the lost. I want to ask you, when you see people, whether it be one or many, do you have an awe that says, that's moved with compassion, that says, do they know the Lord? Do they have a shepherd? There's an awe there. There's an awe when Jesus said, and I believe, Sherry, you alluded to it this morning when you mentioned about, are there not five sparrows? How many remember her mentioning that? And when Jesus was teaching on it, he was opening the door for us to experience an awe. I just had an awe hearing that little voice. How many know we sing, "Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above." I love to talk to people about their awe. When I met Norm, I remember him telling me of when he was a child. It created an awe in my heart. You see, not all awes are going to be of a miraculous, some awes are when you see something and it just, like the prodigal son and the father. I pray the church never loses its awe. May we never lose that ability to see awes. When Jesus pointed out the widow that gave, what was it, or two mites? No one saw that. They were missing an awe opportunity. But Jesus exposed her and said she gave more than when Jesus said two men went to the temple to pray. One was experiencing awe and one was not. I've known for 40 years people can go to church and in the same service one can leave and say, "I don't get nothing out of that." And another could say, "Ah." Jesus said two people went to the temple to pray. And one had no awe because he thought he was the awe. He stood there, and if you're not having a lot of awe, it may be because you're too wrapped up in yourself. Ooh, that's a bad awe. And he said, "I thank thee, I do this, I do that, and I do that." He wasn't experiencing any awe, but the other man over there was beating his chest and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." When Joseph saw his brothers, after he had been made prime minister, and now they show up and they talk, and they don't think Joseph understands what they're saying, but they say, "We shouldn't have done this. We shouldn't have done that to Joseph." Do you remember reading where Joseph had to leave the room and weep? He was experiencing an awe. I hope in your life you see God's hand in your life, because there's a lot of awe if you'll just take a look. These are true stories. They are true. They really happened. And may we never get away from the fact that they happened. We sometimes take the story and then we try to make lessons out of it. And that's good. We try to make moral applications and all those things are fitting. But don't forget the awe. It really happened. God does raise people from the dead. The walls did come down. The sun did stand still. The axe head did float. Samson did catch 300 foxes. He did slay 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Noah did build an ark, and on and on. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there I could, you know, when I get with my family, and probably because of the gifting that God has given out of Corinthians on the word of knowledge, my family, at times when you have gatherings, you know what they want to hear? They want to hear things that God has showed me and revealed to me, and they want to hear the awe. And may we always remember, I'm not the awe, but God is the awe. And it is good when you get together, I pray that you share your awes, your experiences you had with God, and how God has been real to you. My daughter, I'm going to give you an awe right now. I'm done. But my daughter, when she was a little girl of, how old was she, honey? About 4 or 6. She was sleeping in Grandma's room. When Grandma woke up and saw Kelly hiding down in her sleeping bag, And she wondered what she was saying. But Kelly, the next day, said that two men showed up, and she saw a little leprechaun and a bigger man. To me, it was demonic, but it was real to her. And Mama, do you know what I saw? And Daddy, you know what I saw? And I just spoke to her the other day. I said, do you still remember that? She said, oh, yes. Now, maybe it was a vision. That's fine. I'm just saying, folks, the God we serve is real. And everything about it is real. But I hope you never lose your awe and your hunger for the awe. And what we need, the whole world is looking for awe, something to stimulate them, whether it be a new this, a new that, and they get it and it fades. But when Christ comes in you, I love often just to stop at any given moment and just say, oh Lord, I know you're there. I sense your presence. You don't have to do anything spectacular right now. Your spirit bears witness with my spirit. I love it at times. It's not been often, but few, when I'll wake up and God's in the room. Oh, God, I know your presence is here. I love it when I see awe happen in our church. I love it when I see the hunger for you for the awe. I love it when I see you share things one with another. Destiny, there's a change coming in your life, and it's good. I love it when God moves and there's an awe. May we never lose our awe. May we know where we get the awe. May we keep the awe. May we read His Word and let the awe speak to us that creates a reverence. Let's stand. How many know our nation is making everything sacred, unsacred? No reverence. May I continually, as David, stand and even on my bed be aware he has never, in my years of knowing him, failed to, at times, I have to follow him. Jesus said, now he taketh with him Peter, James, and John and went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. I realize I can't make the awe. I can follow Jesus, and may I follow him where he leads me. And boy, what an awe they had as Jesus was transfigured before them. I pray that your eyes will be on the Lord. I pray you have a hunger for the awe. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. How many know who our righteousness is? Christ is. How many would like to have more awe? How many are open for the awe? How many won't criticize the awe? It may be different, it may be unusual, but may I not miss the awe. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness, your love, and your grace. Lord, let us keep that awe. May we respond in a way that is pleasing to you. Please don't let us say in our hearts, it's no big deal. May we, Lord, look to you and worship you. May we follow you as you take us to places. Lord, everything about us, if we'll back up and let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us, can be in awe. The world is starving for stimulation. People in rest homes right now are just waiting for somebody to come visit them, and so they can, somebody came to see me. May I be used to help bring people awe. May I take the Christ in me and bring it to people and share Christ. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. I hope to see those of you that can come back tonight. and go take a peek at that baby again and say, "Ah, the Lord bless you."